If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws regarding business according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to set up travel agencies in Muslim lands, in the Muslim countries, with a view to selling tickets for travel to Israel?
And is it permissible for Muslims to buy tickets from such agencies?
Well, that's a very important question, and that's very much a practical question as well, because many Muslims wonder whether it is permissible for them to travel to Israel or to, you know, to establish such, you know, agencies and facilitate the people's journey to Israel. Of course, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it's not permissible to set up such an agency or a travel agency, because it is detrimental to Islam and Muslims. And it's also not permissible for anyone to do anything that may constitute as a violation of the Muslim boycott of Israel, which is the enemy of Muslims and which is at war with Muslims at the, especially in this time around, when, for example, the Israeli government is, the Israeli regime is actually killing so atrociously the Palestinian people without any, you know, discrimination, killing men and women and children. So they have so far killed thousands of innocent children, and it's such an atrocious act that no one, even non-Muslims, can't believe. So therefore, it's very much important for Muslims to constantly avoid purchasing Israeli goods, helping Israel, and they should boycott Israeli products wherever they are, even if they live in a non-Muslim country with Israeli products very much easily available to them on the market. They should make sure that the things they buy is not are not made in Israel, and it does not help. If it comes from a company, we should make sure that that company does not help the Israeli government and the Israeli regime. That's something we can do as Muslims, mm-hmm. even if we live in a non-Muslim country. Okay, we should make sure that we do not buy the Israeli products.
I see. You know, Sheikh Javid, some Muslims live in the West or in some other countries rather than the Muslim countries, right? We all know that most of the Muslim countries have actually imposed a kind of boycott of Israeli government.
You're right.
And Israeli goods.
Yes.
All right? But I'm not talking about those countries. So if you're living in the West and you're working for a company, that company is in, you know, trade with Israel, and it imports or exports some of the Israeli goods.
Sure.
Is it permissible for that particular individual, I mean Muslim, to work for or keep working for that company?
Of course, it's absolutely forbidden to work for that company, because we know very well that at the end of the day, he's the benefit of his work will go towards towards supporting Israel. So he actually contributes somewhat to the Israeli to helping the Israeli government.
Mm-hmm.
We should not, according to both Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei and Grand Ayatollah Sistani, we should not even work for those companies that allocate a part of its income to support Israel. Okay, so for example, if a company allocates 1% or 2% of its income to support Israel, we should not buy its products, we should not work for that company, we should not do anything in connection with that company.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawbid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws regarding business according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Tawbid, is it permissible to buy the products of Jewish, American, or Canadian companies if there is a possibility that they are supportive of Israel?
Well, if the proceeds from the sale and purchase of these goods would contribute to supporting the occupying wretched state of Israel or to oppose Islam and Muslims, it is not permissible for anybody to buy or sell such things.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there is no objection because, for example, as long as the product is halal, there is no problem, but unless it, you know, helps and contributes to supporting the occupying regime of Israel, and if that is the case, we should not buy that product. We should not sell it. We should not export it. We should not deal with it.
Mm-hmm. How about advertisement of the products, which are in one way or another related to Israel?
It doesn't make any difference because you are promoting Israeli goods. You are promoting the products of a company that is supportive of Israel. So we should not engage in advertising such products.
Mm-hmm. Should Israeli goods be imported to a Muslim country? Is it permissible for retailers to buy some of them and sell them to the public and advertise them?
Well, it's not permissible, as we discussed it in the previous episode. It is it's not permissible for Muslims to do any of these activities, to import Israeli goods, to buy and sell, to sell it, because it is a kind of spreading evil. It constitutes corruption, you know. Mm. We should not contribute towards spreading corruption, towards spreading evil. And evil is the right word we can use when it comes to Israel, when it comes to its goods, when it comes to things produced by the Israeli government, because we do know that the Israeli government is at war with Muslims and in Islam.
Sheikh Tawbid, is it permissible to wear clothes which bear foreign pictures and inscriptions? And is it considered a means of spreading Western culture?
Well, wearing clothes, you know, which bear foreign pictures and inscriptions, well, we do know that there are a lot of Muslims, young men and women, wear such, you know, such clothes and such garments with inscriptions, English, Latin, you know. There's no objection to it in itself, unless it leads to a kind of social degradation, social decay, whatever you might call it, okay? So as for when it comes to judging it as a way of spreading Western culture, which is diametrically opposed to Islamic one, of course, the Western culture, I'm mm-hmm. speaking, it should be left to the common sense, you know. The situation differs from one country to another, from one place, from one occasion to another occasion. And it depends on the common sense, the sound common sense. If, according to the common sense, it is considered to be a kind of spreading Western culture, which is very much opposed to Islamic culture, and it is a kind of degradation for Muslims, or it's a kind of humiliation for Muslims, it's a kind of bringing evil, corruption to the Islamic society, it is, if it is judged as such, if it is verified to be as such, then it's not permissible to buy or to sell such things or to import such things from those non-Muslim countries.
I see. Thank you very much, Shabit. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, in which we talked about some of the jurisprudential laws related to business according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. This is Muhammad Jawad signing off. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws, in which we talked about some of the jurisprudential laws related to khums, and also we covered some of the basics of the jurisprudential laws on zakat too, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن غلام